Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Terry, you have some announcements for us this morning?
Okay, I'm making an official announcement that 2 weeks from today we're going to have a congregational meeting after church. It'll take about 5 minutes, and we'll be electing the search committee for our transition. And so you can look forward to that.
And the other thing is
we need one or two more candidates for the search committee. So if you're interested in all, let us know. And the third thing is I'm all alone on the soundboard. And if you want to branch out into the new exciting area of sound, talk to me and I'll get you worked into the system. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. So the first scripture reading today is Romans 15, 5 through 13, and it's on page 924 of your Pew Bibles. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that the Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover than the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The second reading is John 16, 20 through 33, page 879 in your Pew Bibles. "Very truly I will tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all the things that you do, even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Do you now believe?" Jesus replied, "A time is coming, and in fact, that that come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, that you and me, you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, that we get to show your love to each other here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. And I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, because you are our rock and our redeemer. And we love you and we desperately need you, Lord. Amen. Everybody here remember or know Mike Rowe? I mean, he was the dirty jobs guy. He's got a great podcast and he interviews different people. And I happened to, I subscribed to his podcast and I was listening to it the other day. And he was interviewing somebody, I didn't know who she was, Kat Timpf, I think was her name. Anyway, they're both kind of middle road, down-to-earth kind of people. And they were talking about how, and apparently, well, most people know who Mike Rowe is, but this Kat Timpf. But and he must be well-known among some people, anyway. Mike was telling about how he'd gone on Bill Maher's show, who's this liberal activist, comedian, commentator, whatever. And the next week he was getting all sorts of hate mail from kind of more conservative type folks. And then the next week he was on Glenn Beck, who's a more conservative commentator. And then the following week, he was getting all sorts of hate from the left-leaning folks. And they were both lamenting, and they both had kind of that same experience. And they were talking about just how sad it is that we can't just talk to everybody, right? And one of the things in a number of people I listened to have commented on is just how it's like social media in the news these days are just kind of geared up to make us anxious and angry, right? And, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. Oh, if it can get us riled up. And the reason for that is that it keeps us watching them. You know, if we're anxious, like how many of us didn't watch too much TV during the COVID pandemic, right? Oh, what's the news? You know, if they come out with the vaccine or whatever, you know, and it's just like, you know, that anxiety and then, you know, the anger and all that just keeps us watching and listening to that stuff. Now, in contrast to that, God has something different in mind, and that is he'd like to bring us his joy and peace, which are just the opposite, right? And if you want to follow along in your Bible, if you have a Bible at home, you might even bring it in. Because I like looking at the Greek in the background, and you can feel free to write in your Bible. My Bible, when I use the regular paper Bible, it was all marked up. Now, what's interesting with my Kindle Bible is that I can write notes, I can highlight to my heart's content in the Kindle too, but I like to mark it up and look at the original Greek and take notes that way. But you know what's interesting is that, tell me, what do you think is the most common command in the scriptures? Can anybody tell me what they think is the most given command in the Bible?
To love.
No, it's not to love. Fear not. Don't be anxious. And somebody has said over and over again, Apparently, and I haven't checked it out myself, but there are like 365 times that God says, don't be afraid, do not be anxious. God must have understood that we're anxious people, right? But over and over again says, do not be afraid. And what we find in Romans 15 actually is a way not to be afraid. Beginning at verse 5, it says, may the God who gives an endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Now, looking at the Greek here, it actually first just talks about God. It says, may the God of encouragement and endurance and encouragement. But what's interesting here is the word that's translated in endurance actually is translated every place else as abiding. And where do they get that? Well, where do they get that? In this same word, when they translated the Hebrew into the Greek, because they wanted it in the common language the day, the first thing they did was we got the New Testament written down, everybody's speaking Greek, it's kind of the English language of the time was the Greek, and they wanted the Old Testament in Greek so everybody could read it. When they were translating a beautiful Hebrew word, it's hesed. You say that word, everybody should know this word, hesed. It sounds kind of weird. Let's say it together, hesed. And it's translated a variety of ways into English, loving kindness, steadfast love. It's just such a beautiful word because it's a loyal kind of love. It's an attached kind of love. It's like, I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin kind of love that's talked about in hesed. And that is the actual word that's used here that they translated into Greek, this word hesed. And so it's not just he gives us endurance. Our God is a God who remains with us through thick and thin. He's got a loyal kind of love for each one of us here. That's the message that Paul wants to get to us in this passage. And think about it. What were the last words that Jesus said before he was taken up into heaven at the ascension? I mean, he has the death, resurrection, and he gets to the end, just before he's ready to be lifted into heaven, he says, lo, I am with you always, right? Lo, I am with you always. He's a God who abides with us, and he's loyal to us. And that's the kind of God that we believe in. And the word encouragement, it's parakaleo, and we get, it's kind of an old English term, paraclete. Have you heard that term for the Holy Spirit? He's the paraclete. Well, it means someone who's called alongside. It's just such a beautiful image there. It's not just somebody who, oh, good luck over there. Or like James says, oh, be warm and fed over there. No, it's somebody who comes alongside of us. It's a term that was used for a lawyer. It's somebody who comes alongside of us in a judicial situation, but it's also somebody who comes alongside us and walks with us through difficulty, through pain, and through the joyful times too. It's somebody who's with us and ready to experience everything with us. And this is the God that we believe in, that we're looking for, and we can be encouraged by. Now he goes on, he says, give you the same mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Now, you can tell the intellectual attitude. I mean, most of the Bible translations were done by scholars. It was people who were or college professors, seminary professors, that's who translated the Bible, very much into the things of the mind. And so they like intellectual terms like the mind, right? But the Greek word here that they translate as mind is the word that we, the root word of it is what we get our word diaphragm from. Isn't that interesting? So the Paul Tainter version of this would be, may God give you the same gut feeling for one another. May you feel deeply with each other. And that has a completely different feeling to it, doesn't it? And Chris Corsi and Jim Wilder and the gang that I've mentioned here before have as one of the relational skills a God sight. I think it's number 16 or 19. I forget which number it is. It's one of their basic five, though. What their point is that we want to try and see things from God's point of view, and we want to feel things from God's point of view, because God has compassion on us. It tells us in scriptures that Jesus had compassion on those who were hurting, but the old King James actually was closer to the feeling here. When they would translate, remember hearing the King James translation where it said bowels of mercy? Because it's the gut of mercy. It's a gut feeling that you have, that you're trying to feel with that other person who was hurting. You're laughing with them who are laughing. We're rejoicing with those who rejoice, but we're also weeping with those who weep. That this is what Paul is trying to get at here. He wants us to feel with each other, and however it is that we happen to be feeling. And that's the way God is with us. Like I mentioned last week in Exodus 3, he says, I've seen the pain that my people are in. I've heard their cry. I understand all that they're going through, and I've come here to do something about it. That's the kind of God that we believe in. That's his heart for us, and that's the heart he wants us to have for each other. Now it goes on, verse 7, accept one another then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, again, this is really a weak term. To me, at any rate, maybe it's just my weird interpretation. It's kind of like the word tolerate. I'll accept you. I mean, I like you, but, you know, I'll tolerate you, right? Turn to the person around you there and say, I tolerate you. Do you feel loved when you hear somebody say that? Now, there are some days where we have to do that, right? But the actual Greek here, it's, a compound word. It means to draw toward yourself or grab toward yourself. It's like, I want to get closer to you. Now, that's got a completely different feeling than just accept, because we can accept and go on our merry way, right? But this is something that's a whole lot deeper. And the point is, I mean, what is it that God, makes God happy? It brings praise to God, right? It brings praise to God. And the thing that struck me about this actually is another relational skill that Corsi and Wilder point out, and that is, and they say it's skill zero, actually. In other words, that this is foundational. It means that kind of what we're doing with the Thanksgiving at the beginning of the service, in quieting ourselves that way and becoming appreciative, It's turning on our relational circuits. It's turning on our loving circuit in our brain, in our spirit. It's becoming more loving as opposed to being what we see that makes us angry and anxious, and that is the enemy mode that so much of our society has gotten into, right? It's not just even that the other, you know, we've got a difference of opinion these days about how we'd like things to be. It's, oh, the other side is just evil, right? Right? And of course, he has a number of questions that can help us in this regard. And am I keeping the relationship bigger than the problem? Is relationship more important than the issue that we're talking about? Do I have to win? Or does the other person have to lose? Right? Some good clues. But it can be kind of summed up in this. Am I trying to draw closer or am I pushing away? We'll tell you whether you're in enemy mode. And that's kind of maybe the first thing that needs to be... This will be an assignment here for the week, all right? Am I in relational mode? Am I in a loving mode? Or am I in enemy mode? Just something to think about. Kind of be aware of it. Take time through the day. In your prayer time, you can say, Lord, help me to be in relational mode here this week here, today even, or the next hour. Sometimes it's a little more challenging. Now as you go your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, over you to protect you, and within you to fill you with his love and joy and peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.